Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We do have a very good number, and it's good to see all of you. We all have the privilege this morning of coming together to worship God, being here this morning. I'm afraid a lot of times we take things for granted, don't we? We take things that lightly, we're always able to come. Well, it's when those that for some reason health or things are not able to come, that's when you realize how important it is and how things we kind of take something we call simple things for granted sometimes. And we need to be thankful for every opportunity we have. We don't know what life has in store for us. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, and so we need to be grateful to God every day. And part of being grateful to God is to acknowledge Him. Acknowledging Him and coming together and worshiping Him. Right? We acknowledge Him and we're showing our dependence upon God. When we pray to God, when we sing to God, when we partake of the Lord's Supper and all these things, we are showing that we are acknowledging and showing our dependence upon God. And we need Him. And it's when we get to the point in our lives we don't think we need Him, that's when we're in big trouble, aren't we? And so I thank you all for being here this morning as we come together to honor God and to glorify Him. In our Bible reading for this past month, and one of the things that we've been going through was the book of Proverbs. And I wanted to do a lesson for some things out of Proverbs. And so, for the most part, it's kind of hard. As you know, Proverbs is kind of broken down in a lot of little small things. And it's hard just to take a chapter out of Proverbs. All right, we're going to do a chapter of this or that. And you can, but it's kind of difficult. And so I'm going to kind of take a theme or something from the book to kind of help us, I think, and we'll look at several passages out of Proverbs, as well as some other passages out of the Bible as we talk about our theme this morning. But we want to look at, first of all, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 to kind of get our mind thinking in a certain direction. It says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is like a brute animal." As children, we needed our parents' corrections. But we were hard to convince that parental discipline was good for us, right? It's hard for us. You know, we understand that we need discipline, we need correction, but when you're going through it or when you're being the recipient of it, it's hard to acknowledge that it's for your good, right? And we never, and here's what I want to understand, get you to see this morning, is we never outgrow the need for correction. All of us need correction from time to time. We also never outgrow the need to be reminded of how valuable correction is and that it's needed. And I'm afraid a lot of us never outgrow the fact that it's hard to take correction, isn't it? It's hard to have someone to come tell you, hey, you know, you did this wrong, or you need to change this, you need to correct this. And so that's what I want us to talk about this morning and look at in correction. The book of Proverbs has a lot of passages, and the more I looked at it, the more I said, wow, there are all kinds of passages that talk about correction. There's actually three verses here in Proverbs chapter 9, in verse 7 beginning. Listen to this. It says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Wonderful passage here. Wonderful things to think about, isn't it? He's basically telling you, you know, you try to correct someone that doesn't want to hear it, someone that doesn't want to do it, he goes, and you're just going to get abused, right? It's not going to do them any good. He goes, but if you correct a wise man is one that he's going to understand, you know what, I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes and I need help. And he says, you correct a wise man and he will love you for it. He's going to appreciate that. And so there's a lot of things in this, but notice it says in the last, the verse 10 there, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's where it all begins, isn't it? And really, that's what the book of Proverbs is really talking to. It's trying to give us wisdom, okay, from wise men in the Bible, and men that were led by the Holy Spirit in writing these things down. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look at some other quick proverbs before we kind of get into some other things. It says, Proverbs 10 and verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. You see that what he's trying to tell us here? Look at chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Okay, over and over again it talks about a father and a son, right? And a father's trying to correct his son, trying to help his son, trying to teach his son. And if his son will listen to his father's advice, listen to his wisdom, then he will be wise, okay? He's prudent. He's prudent from this. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 15. This is for us parents. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty plain. Proverbs concerning correction. Okay, so let's talk about correction. And maybe we want to ask the question, maybe first of all, is we say, well, what is correction? What does that word really mean? What are we talking about when we say correction? Well, a general definition of this, to correct, now listen, is to remove the errors or mistakes from something. To adjust so as to meet a standard. Okay? So, we all know about school, right? Taking a test, right? And you ever heard you said, well, the teacher's going to correct. I'm going to make the necessary corrections to the test. He's going to correct it, right? If there are mistakes on there, they're going to make them right. They're going to correct them, right? And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about correction. That's what it means. It always involves the idea, listen, of making right or improving. Okay? It always involves the idea of making right or improving. Now, there are some related words in the Bible, okay, that are used. So not everything is used as the word correction. Okay, but there are other words that mean or similar meanings to them. You ever heard the word admonish, right? The word admonish means to warn, to point out something forgotten or disregarded. An example of this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, so that word admonish is one of the words. There's another word, reprove. To blame for a fault. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, the King James Version says, but rather reprove them. Or other translations say expose them. Okay, reprove. Rebuke is another word that is sometimes used. To criticize sharply, to reprimand. Revelation 3 and verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And one more word that we hear sometimes is the word exhort. Exhort. That means to urge by strong argument, to admonish earnestly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is an example of this. Now, we use this passage sometimes to say, hey, this is a passage that tells us that we need to come together, assemble together. But notice what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. To urge by strong argument, to admonish earnestly is what he's saying. So when we come together, part of that coming together is to exhort one another, which is a form of correction. So when we come together, brethren, we are here to try to help each other, to try to help each other to make things right, to improve each other, to improve our lives, right? So this is part of correction. This is what correction is. Now the next thing is we want to look at is, where does correction come from then? We understand what it is. Where does it come from? Well, maybe the best or the easiest kind of correction it should be from us, it would be from self-examination, right? That would be the one to be easiest for us to take it is when we look at it, we see it ourselves. We look and say, oh, I've made a mistake. I'm doing some things wrong. Let me make the changes. Let me make the necessary improvements that I need to make. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. We can do that, right? So that kind of leads us to the second thing is, where does correction come from? It comes from the Scriptures, right? It comes from the Scriptures. Another Proverb chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's Proverbs 6 and verse 23. The Scriptures, brethren, are profitable for us. And unlike human sources of information, they are infallible. They're always right. When you look to the Scriptures and you see these things and you study them and you meditate upon them, you see that you, when you make changes according to the Scriptures, you're always going in the right direction. Okay, the Scriptures are right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Brethren, the Scriptures are profitable, they are infallible, and they are unbiased. You ever thought about that? The Scriptures are not biased, they're not slanted in one way. We can rely upon the Scriptures. And we need to do that. That's where correction comes from. Furthermore, correction comes from others, doesn't it? Comes from other people. Our fathers, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. We understand that. We already talked about that. Looked at some Proverbs, right, that talk about that. But our fathers corrected us. There are many good people who can give us helpful correction, whether they are family members, fellow Christians, elders in the church, friends, even some employers, teachers, etc. There are so many that can give correction, that can help each other. You know what, brethren? You can learn from your enemies too. Benjamin Franklin was quoted as saying, love your enemies, for they tell you your faults. Okay? You can rely upon your enemies. They're going to tell you what's going on. They're going to tell you your shortcomings because they're watching out. They're trying to find. And you can love them because of that. Okay? It doesn't matter where it comes from. If correction is needed, then we need to make application. We need to do that. We need to learn from it. So that brings us to our next point, and it kind of goes along with the first one. Who is responsible then to give correction? Well, we've already talked about the parents, right, are responsible to correct their children. The home, as one man said, is a correctional institution. That's what the home is. That's what it's about, okay? We are to correct. When our children go astray, when they are doing their own thing, we are to correct them in the home. That's what it's there for. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 in the New Testament. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There's one of our words again, right? Admonition of the Lord. It's very important, brethren. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Who else is responsible to give correction? Older people in general are responsible to give correction. Now listen to me. That's very important. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Older women have a responsibility to correct, to admonish, to exhort the younger women, to help them. When you're young and you first get married, guess what? You don't know how to do everything. You don't know how to love your spouse. You don't know how to love your children in the right way. And so those that have already been through it, that have gone through these things, they need to help the younger. That's very important. And it goes for the older men too. You need to help the younger men. Help them. Correct. The elders in the church also have a responsibility. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Elders must be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. To exhort, there's one of our words, right? One of our words we talked about. And convict those who contradict. Also Hebrews 13 and verse 17 goes along with this as well. Obey your leaders, Lord, because they look out for your soul. The evangelist also has a responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Titus chapter 2 and verse 15. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Very important. We have a responsibility then as evangelists to speak the things, exhort, rebuke, correct with all authority. And that authority comes from the Word of God. Okay, it doesn't come from what I think. Okay, it comes from the Scriptures, from the Word of God. Well, brethren, all Christians have the responsibility to correct. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, he says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish one another. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort, there's our word, one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That is a very important verse. We are to help each other because sin will harden us. Sin can harden our hearts. And we must exhort one another daily. Now, brethren, how are we going to exhort one another daily if we never see each other? If we're never around each other? If we never spend any time with each other? Do you think about that? How are we going to do that? Brethren, we are responsible to give correction to each other. The next point is, here's the question, why is correction valuable? Why is it valuable? Well, I think we've already hit on it, but I want to make sure you understand, it contributes to the good life and to happiness. That's really what it contributes about. In the book of Job, chapter 5, Job chapter 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Well, that's true, isn't it? Happy is the man whom God corrects. Don't it make you feel good when you know you're doing the right thing? Right? When you know you're doing what's right, what God wants you to do, it should make you happy. When you know you're not doing the right things, then you're not happy, are you? You know you need to make correction. You need to make changes in your life. In Proverbs, once again, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Brethren, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Without correction from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we cannot be complete. We cannot be thoroughly equipped for every good work without correction. So without the Word of God correcting us, we cannot be complete. So brethren, this brings us to the last point that I have here, but something that we really need to spend a little time on because it's very important, is our attitude toward correction. Our attitude toward correction. My mind has gone blank. I had something in my head and it just went blank. Hold on for a second. As the old saying, I'm getting a little old here. I had to think for a second. I'll come back to that. Okay, our attitude toward correction. I'm sorry. Our attitude toward correction. What about when we're the one giving correction? Okay, what about when we're the one giving correction? What should our attitude be? Well, first of all, brethren, from Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12, listen to what it says. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in." Brethren, our correction should be motivated by love. That's where it should all begin with. If we're the one that we see someone that needs to be corrected, we should go to them in love. The corrector should desire to help, not to hurt. Desire to help, not to hurt. Wisdom is needed to know when and how to correct another person. You know, sometimes in life, there are times that we just need to mind our own business. You know, sometimes in life, it's just there's certain things maybe going on, and it may not be something that we need to get involved with to try to correct someone. It maybe it's just a matter of opinion or something, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God, but we just want to correct them. We just think, you know, they're not doing that in the right way. I just want to get them. Okay? Well, sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut, right, and go on. Okay? But when it pertains to the Word of God, when it pertains to sin, then obviously it needs to be done. Something's got to be done about it. In Proverbs, we've already looked at Proverbs 9, 7, and 8, talking about the difference. But correction, brethren, is necessary, but it should be done gently and with humility. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. It says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do His will." Gently. We must gently instruct, gently teach them. Because brethren, most of the time, when someone is not doing right, and yet it's all in how you approach them, isn't it? How they're going to take it. And someone says, well, they're doing wrong. We just got to let them have it. We just got to hit them with it. We just got to let them go. We got to go with it. Okay, well, that goes back to having some wisdom. Okay, and approaching people. That doesn't mean you don't approach them. Doesn't mean that you just don't ever tell them what's wrong. But you've got, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And that's what he's telling, and Paul's trying to tell Timothy that. Okay, and he's trying to tell us this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, brethren, if we're the one that's giving the correction, this is a good verse to remember. Okay? You approach someone with gentleness and you go with the point thinking that, you know what? I could be the one that needs it. I could be the one that could be the next time that could be in the situation, and how do I want someone approaching me? I'm going to tell you something, brethren. There was a couple of years ago that I needed some correction in something. And I had a brother that came to me. And I want you to know he came with a spirit of gentleness. And he came and he corrected me in a way that I needed it. And I appreciate it. And I still appreciate it. But brethren, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? But it doesn't matter who gives the correction. We need to be willing to receive it. The corrector must be fair and just without any kind of double standards. But the receiver must not resent correction, but welcome it. Gratitude, a spirit of, and an attitude of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know, the elders have a grave responsibility. And sometimes they have to go and they have to correct those. Sometimes the elders have to pull someone to the side and gently correct them. And I appreciate them for it. And brethren, if they pull you aside and try to correct you, you better love them for it. Because they're looking out for your soul. I would much rather be corrected right now and make the changes that I need to make than on the day of judgment. God has to correct me Himself, and I don't get another chance. See, God had a plan, and He did it this way for a reason. We need to surround ourselves, brethren, with people who can have a good influence on us and regularly ask for their correction. You see something going on in my life that I need correction, you need to come talk to me. You need to help me. But what would it be if all of us had that attitude? If all of us were when we come together, say, hey, look at my life. Look at me. What do I need to do to correct? And brethren, that's where we all need to be. And brethren, no advice is helpful if it's not applied. If you're the receiver of correction, if it's found from the Word of God, you need to apply it. And it doesn't matter, maybe you don't, and a lot of times I'm afraid if someone comes to us and tries to correct us, what do? We bow up, first thing we want to do is look at their life. What are you trying to tell me there? Look at you, you did this, I'm better than you, you did that and that. And that's the exact opposite of what God wants out of His children. God can do nothing with proud people. So we better just get rid of that pride if we want to go to heaven. We've got to get rid of it. And we've got to help each other. The wise man and the fool respond very differently to correction. My question to you is, which one are you? Are you the wise man or are you the fool? Brethren, we all need to receive the correction of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12, it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. In Proverbs 15, 9 and 10, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Now listen, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Brethren, that's it. If you hate correction, you're going to die. We must listen to the correction of the Lord. We must listen to the correction and try to help each other. May we be thankful and take advantage of God's correction in His Word and in His providence. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And I want to leave you as our last passage for this morning from the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. It says, Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live. God does not have pleasure in anyone who dies. Will you turn this morning and live? Will you turn to the Lord? He loves you. He cares for you. He gave His only Son to die for you, so you can live for Him. We can help you this morning in turning to God and becoming a Christian. I hope and pray that you will think about that this morning. God loves you. He wants to be a father to you. He's going to treat you as a father. He's going to discipline you when you need discipline. He's going to correct you. He's going to do what He needs to do in order for you to go to heaven, because He loves you.